For those who don't know where Paraguay is, it's it's in the center of South America, actually. It's this area here. And I will say that I had originally gotten permission to go to Argentina and Paraguay in the Chaco region, which I assumed would have a large collection of wild barbadenses, or feral, let's say, because the literature says that Barbadense was trans-Andean, originating in Peru and then transferred by pre-Columbian trade into this area. And about 10 years ago, I had talked to a person from Bolivia, and he said, well, yeah, there was a lot of wild Barbadense, and that the Brazilian producers that were coming over and taking land in Bolivia were going out and cutting this down because they thought it would be harboring insects. And so, well, since then, we've had the Cartagena biological treaty, which is, become quite an inhibitor towards plant exploration by the U.S. anyway. And anyway, I'll introduce Santiago Bertoni as the individual. This was taken in Paraguay. He's the co-author of the paper. And I will say that only found three accessions of Cassipium. One of these was Barbadense, and two of them, surprisingly, turned out to be Hirsutum. Now, you will see this picture several times. How do I go back? Oh, well. Pardon?
Well, there you go. It's going the wrong way or the right way?
The right way. Back to the picture. Yeah, that one's it.
Oh, excuse me.
I'm not the only one who don't know how to work this. El Nino was active, and so the Central South America becomes wetter during the El Nino. Australia becomes drier, Africa becomes drier because of the weather patterns. And all right, let's put this in perspective. Basically, because it was wet, I was unable to go to a lot of places that I had intended to. But the first one was Tupesi Rinda, was heading towards Puerto Penasco, which is in this area. I got to Tupesi Rinda and stopped at a police station. They said, well, they looked at the vehicle and said, well, you can't go any further because the road is too wet. And so we turned back at that point. The reason we're going to Puerto Penasco is because a person who worked at the EECC said that he had seen wild cotton there. And so I'll just go to that one. This is the road we went on. And Bertoni had walked out on this log and fell in the water, so he just gave up and waited the rest of the way, trying to see if a vehicle would pass. And we did pass this one okay. But as I said, we turned back after the police station. But I was going to this Hirsutum. This was collected by Edouard and he went to this area by a two-wheel vehicle, went around the water holes. So I have not gotten the seed to compare with the later one, but you can see it is a Hirsutum. And this one right here made me think that perhaps it would be more related to the moco cottons of northeast Brazil rather than the one that I collected later on. The second trip was down into this area to Laguna Escalante, an Indian village. Again, we got stuck and had to wait our way out. But I asked around to all the inhabitants of the village, and they said, no, there's no cotton here. Baterne asked, and he said he found that on the way back that if we went through a village called, it was a military village called General Diaz, that one of the houses there would have cotton. And so we found this one plant which was next to the road, and the lady liked the flowers, and so she had increased it as an ornamental. It turned out to be Barbadense. But that was the only example of the Barbadense we found, and it was more of a ornamental rather than a what I would call a dooryard for use. This did not go into Upper Paraguay at all because of the wet season. Did go into Boca Raton. The next trip was up this way to these Indian villages next to the Bolivian border. Spent the night in this little circle here, which was a national park. And this indicates where we stayed for free because of connections with Batoni. And just, I indicated the telephone pole here. As we were driving up there, every pole had a bird nest in it. And this is Adansonia. And we went out the next day, and I would say that just as we left the park, there was a native person there waiting for a ride to go up to the northernmost Picosu, which was the northernmost Indian village, and he'd been waiting 4 days for a ride. So we gave him a ride. This picture of these ladies, they worked for the Indian Affairs Bureau of Paraguay and held a session at the first Indian village in this structure while the rest of us waited. We then went on north, stopped at a sand dune, which we thought we would find some maracas, and did not find any, but did find a wild, what I call a zinnia. And but in talking to the natives, they said, cotton, what's that? You know, we don't grow any. So I found out that there's no dooryard cottons there. So back we go. Went to this Italian village and again turned back because we were scared to cross this, afraid that the vehicle would have water, or you know, the back tires would cross and fall into the mud, and the front tires would cross the logs and fall into the mud, and we'd be standing. So we didn't cross it. But on the way back, we ran into a individual who was in charge of the Mennonite, a German Mennonite missionaries service that services the local residents in that area. And he said that they had a new property about 75 kilometers away that they had seen cotton as they explored this. And he gave us the name of this person. So the next day we went there, and this would be him leading the way. We walked about a mile in this lake bed, which would be a wet weather lake bed. And came out. It was more like a bullseye when I looked at, I should have shown the picture, but when you look at Google Earth, it's this wet lake is a bullseye. Just sit out there in the middle of nowhere. And this is looking north in this first one, looking east, south, and west. As you look north in this area, that is a wild cotton there. That's looking out across the wet weather lake. And south, there's cotton here. Well, and west, right where I was taking the picture. But to show that it was a wild cotton, it was a wild hirsutum. It looked very similar to what I would see in let's say, South Florida. In that it seemed to be growing in the shade. It would only have morning sun, and part of the season it would have wet feet. The difference between this and the Florida material is that it was very hairy. Okay, that's just a few extra shots. Birds. For those who have not seen a ray, that's it. It's a little smaller than the emu, which is smaller than the ostrich, but very similar. It's one of the reasons I went to South America. And so that I mentioned the wild zinnia that grew on that sand dune was there. This is a wattle, and I thank you for your attention.